Every couple of Wednesdays, we bring in my friend from Generate Marketing. He's Jason Peterson to talk news of the tech, social media, gadget, marketing world. And hello, Jason. How are you doing? Good to see you today. How's your summer going?
You know,
I haven't seen you for a while.
I know. It's been a little bit since, I think, the Walk of Shame.
Yeah, yeah. We had some. We had the 4th of July, and I was out of town. And so now we've got you back, and good to see you. And it seems like it's a busy morning for tech news. A couple of the top stories we had right off the bat were techie. But I want to start with something that's really practical, probably for the people that you work with in your business. And it's something that you've talked about before, and it's got to do with websites and Google and when your website's going to show up, when it's not. So give us a little breakdown of the issue and what people need to know on this.
So, again, we've been talking about this for a bit, Jack and I, as far as the security requirements have been increased or mandated by Google, and even Firefox, as we've seen this as an instance as well, where for those obviously that shop online, they're familiar with the little lock or the thing that says the site is secure. What that basically is on the hosting side, there's a little piece of software that's installed that makes sure that when the traffic goes back and forth, it's encrypted. So no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But again, as we've talked, Google mandated and has decided that that's required on every single website starting in like July 5th. So it is officially now endorsed. So there are instances, depending upon the laziness of how the site has been created, where it literally will not even show up.
Okay.
There's other instances where it will come through and you'll get a privacy or like a security warning. But it is definitely so. If you notice this happening, it's happening now. I was like in a meeting the other morning and we were trying to bring up websites and like three of the five wouldn't show up.
Really?
And it was because of this. So especially sites that haven't been updated in a long time, I think there's more aggressiveness in terms of Google. I mean, like I've talked about it, Google's about compliance. And it's extremely cheap. I mean, whether your site's at GoDaddy or like we use Binary here locally in town, like I said, it's like $50 a year.
Okay.
But if you notice that or if you have your own site, just make sure that is installed because that's just going to be – you know, and the reason being, it's really about hacking. I mean, it's about that whenever data is going back and forth, that people can't intercept that. And so overall, it's a really good thing. It's just,
but
a
most people aren't.
Fashion.
So, but most people aren't like hosting their own site. You know, that you're working with, are they?
I mean, well, they basically with most business owners. I mean, it's their responsibility to make sure this is up, unless they have like a working relationship with the person that hosts the site. Let's just say like Hostgator or GoDaddy. Like if you haven't gone to them and like said, I want this installed, it won't be secure. So it's not just a default they're going to do it
matter what. So that's the important bit of information.
Yes,
there.
You have to actually like request or talk to your tech guy or tech contact to make sure that that's done. But, you know, if you're noticing that, the internet isn't broken. That's what's going on. But if you have your own website, you want to do your own due diligence to make sure that whoever is the tech person that's involved with your site hosting, that they have installed an SSL.
All right. There you go. It's good, practical information.
Yeah, kind of geeky, but
especially business owners out there, just make sure if you've got issues, that's one of the first places to be looking right now.
Exactly.
At least when it comes to those issues. Well, Amazon Prime Day wrapping up. And they had – did you see this? Not yesterday, but when it started the day before. So Monday, when it got started in the afternoon, I go to my app because I was just going to look around and see what was on there. I didn't end up getting anything. But I clicked
did. We,
on.
We made a killing last
Did
night.
You? Okay, yes, well, I'll hear about that in a second. But I clicked on like the electronics link, and then I get a picture of a cute puppy, and it says things aren't working. And then another cute. So that first day, they had massive glitches with the whole thing. Despite that, though, they said that this year's Prime Day in the U.S. were bigger than ever, grew faster than last year's Prime Day with the first 10 hours of the annual sales event. And so, and then they blew out just the thing that really, and I said this when we were talking earlier, a couple of days ago when we were talking about it, and Mark was asking in the morning drive, you know, if I was getting anything. I said, I don't know. I don't think so. But if you're looking for things to really for sure get a good deal on, if you've been looking at any of the Amazon devices, so if you've been looking at one of the home assistants, where it's the Echo or the Echo Dot or a Fire tablet or a Fire TV stick. Those sorts of things are surefire good deals on there. What were you finding great deals on?
Well, you know, okay, so practical thing I found a DeWalt. Is it DeWalt? Is that right? The tools. So I found, yes, I needed a new power drill, and they had an amazing deal.
I need
going
one
on.
Too. I want to get a corded drill. I'm tired. Okay. I don't use drills enough. The cordless ones that I've had, and I've had all cordless drills for a while, got all kinds of problems. Not charged. It doesn't last. I'm ready to just get a straight corded drill. So maybe I should have been looking
well,
for that.
And I was going to say, I like you. I have an old school corded one that I use once in a while. But yeah, my Milwaukee died on me, which really sucked. It started to smoke. So I got that. I got a Roku. I needed to replace one of our Rokus. It was like ancient, and I got like a good one for like $25.
Really?
Yeah.
So one of the best features with Rokus that we have like three different versions, but the ones that you can export audio to your phone,
yes,
is really really cool. And the newer ones, the other thing is they've got buttons on the remote that can control the TV volume and the TV power.
I know.
Which are also those are some of the new things. If you haven't gotten a new one, those are nice. That's all we have. I don't have any Apple TV. I don't have any Amazon TV items in my house. So we're a Roku house.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, to me, some electronic stuff, some gadgets. Right. I mean, just kind of some add-on things. There were some good deals and things. Speakers, like headphones. Oh, my gosh. I mean, and you're right. Like Amazon, like I told Holly that, you know, they just have to be careful. I know Amazon has their own line. They've started their own clothing line, actually, she was mentioning to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, so
I remember talking about that.
Yes. So to me, if you're trying to get, like, you know, cords, I know, like, a lightning cord for your thing, some of the Amazon stuff, you know, it's good and it's cheap.
It's crazy because I was in a Target or I believe it was a Target, and I was look, what kind of a cord was I looking at? I'm trying to remember what it was now. Oh, it was, I can't remember if it was like the adapter from the phone to the headphones or what it was. But the cords that you get at actual brick and mortar retail stores are five times
as expensive. It's insane.
Especially with those cords. I mean, HDMI cords have been like that for years too.
Yeah, it is amazing to me. I mean, you're right. There's times where I know certain adapters, like I have a Chromebook and they need the USB-C. But honestly, like, to me, that is a place where it's, and cases. I mean, it's the pricing. Right. I mean, you go to Best Buy,
the pricing is killing the brick and mortar stores on those. I mean, just.
Like, who wants to spend $40 on an iPhone case? I mean, I don't know. I mean,
sometimes maybe we ask, why they're it seems like it's an unfair playing field, but on some of those price points, it's ridiculous. Yeah, it really is, and I think that's why you've got a lot of people that go that way. But interesting, evidently, despite all the glitches, and they did have plenty of them, was still a successful day. I didn't even get on it enough. I've been on it in other years and found it sort of confusing to figure out, okay, you know, some of these are some of the time, some are finite, some aren't. So that's in the past. So I don't know if that was how it was this year, but it sounds like it still had some.
Yeah, it was a little
success.
Better. I actually came in on the second day, so maybe there wasn't as many glitches. But
yeah,
the glitches
were that first afternoon.
Yeah, we were looking for like stuff for Holly's birthday and all that kind of stuff with the kids. And so, anyways, yeah, I would say despite the glitches, it was an improvement.
So with another big Amazon Prime Day sets up the story that I think is going to be one that's going to really be defining some of this e-commerce over the next year or so, and that's Amazon versus Walmart. And
yes.
I think Walmart is really gearing up to try and be Amazon's primary
competitor.
It sounds like and there's been plenty of this already, but the latest is that Walmart is now considering launching a subscription streaming video service to be on par with the Netflixes and Amazon Primes of the world. It could be priced, and of course, if it's Walmart, so they're going to try and beat them on price point.
Of course.
And so they would price it at less than $8 a month, and that would put its monthly rate below both Netflix and Amazon. And then they're also thinking about an ad-supported free service that might go with it as well. That's on the heels of additional stories, where Walmart signed a five-year deal that it's going to use Microsoft's cloud services and work with a firm on AI and machine learning projects as well. And that's someplace where Microsoft actually does compete with Amazon, but Walmart wouldn't. So you're putting two levels of competition in.
That's a brilliant
and
pairing.
Kind of putting them together. And of course, they announce it during
Amazon
Prime Day.
Of course.
On this whole thing.
That was very intentional.
It seems like you're kind of starting to see that's the McDonald's versus Burger King now, maybe of the future.
Yeah,
Amazon versus Walmart.
Yeah, I mean, as far as retail goes, I like you. I was kind of wondering how Walmart would evolve. I think the pairing with Microsoft and trying to go down these paths. I mean, the thing that Walmart has in their back pocket is they are the master of like price points and getting. You know, they make. The margins that they make.
I mean,
it's really boils down to that it's always, always, always been about beating people on price. And so from a consumer perspective, we benefit overall. I mean, it's a yin and yang and so forth. But yeah, to me, Amazon needs something that is a counterpunch to that. Because like, again, I mean, we're living in a world, like I'm watching a history thing on the Gilded Age, and it's just ironic that like, we're living in an era right now where we have these titans, like we've talked about,
right.
That are.
So the counterpunch has to be allying with something, because Walmart has the brick and mortar stores all
right.
In all the
Correct.
Cities. That's the advantage that they've
Correct.
Got. I don't know exactly how to define what that is as an advantage, but that's the difference.
They have some traction. I mean, to me, you know, I mean, it's the counter that, you know, Amazon bought Whole Foods,
right.
Which obviously is just the grocery side of things. And I was joking with you earlier that just like if you go in now, like all the little dots, and they don't say Amazon, they say Prime. And so there's the circles and the branding, and it's everywhere.
Is it? I haven't been in one for a long time.
It's crazy.
Has it changed? Does it? It's just the Prime branding, or is there certain items that are
I don't
that
know
are Prime
if the items,
items
is,
or what it
it's,
is.
It's just
oh,
now.
It's just, out, it's just branded everywhere.
It's branded, but now you see the discounts, you see the pricing. They're all about pushing the Prime membership. So, again, if you want to get the discounts, you need to be a Prime member.
I wanted to ask you another piece of news that the news itself isn't necessarily worth a ton of discussion in this venue. I saw Slack had announced that it acquired Missions, which is an app that allows Slack users to build tools to automate routines without code, blah, blah, blah. I don't know that that necessarily is going to appeal to a whole lot of people, but I have noticed that Slack has become incredibly common in workplaces now.
Yes.
We don't use it here. I've used it as more of a communication tool with friends, almost as a replacement to a message board type of thing. I didn't realize until recently how prevalent it's become in workplaces. I guess basically replacing internal email or what have you heard about people who use Slack and what it, I guess, maybe we need to set up what it is first. It's just kind of like a,
It allows to have kind of communication integration. It allows to kind of combine some loose project management and conversations around tasks and things that need to be done.
At its simplest form, though, it's like it's a chat room, right?
That's correct.
I mean,
it's kind of like a Swiss Army knife chat room. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess is the way I would put
it. That's a good way to put it.
But to me, like, you know, and it's kind of like Evernote and Dropbox and some of these is the integrations. I mean, it can integrate with like 1,500 different apps and so forth. So it has the ability to piggyback other things or latch on to other stuff. So, I mean, honestly, for us, we're right now in the throes of trying to figure out our own communication needs and some of our project management. And I've heard some comments that like, you should really try out Slack. So I personally, it'd be kind of a good thing to myself. I've piddled with it. I haven't done a ton, but I don't know about you, but I get too many emails and it drives me nuts. So if there is evolved ways that we can do communications internally that prioritize and create it, otherwise, I mean, let's be honest, all of us spends like an hour a day just going through email, which to me still seems extremely inefficient.
It's just interesting to me because I was introduced to it again as just kind of a replacement for a message board where I had friends who had a message board and we started using that instead. I didn't envision it or understand the value that it was having and does have in workplaces and how kind of integrated it's becoming in those places, widespread right now. And the more I hear people at some of these places, it is their primary tool of inter-office communication on this thing. So
yeah, and to me, again, Microsoft owns it. So it will be interesting to see how that all plays out and such.
I should mention this as well. Another bit of news this over the course of it's been the last couple of weeks, but this morning Twitter is cracking down on bots, on and people have seen their follower numbers in some cases go down significantly, which gives you an idea of how many real people, or at least what Twitter believes are real people and not real people, were actually following you. Interesting to see them actually go after this. I think people would be surprised about how many accounts on Twitter are actually bots, especially when you delve into some of the deep dark political corners and beyond of Twitter as well. So that's interesting to see.
Well, and I know, Facebook's done that. I mean, it's something they need to do. I mean, I know that it has bloated some of the PR sort of like, hey, this, I have so many followers, especially with public figures and stuff like that. But yeah, it's an ongoing issue. I mean, it's something that's, you know, making sure, like we talk about when people like invite people to like or comment or share or connect with someone on Instagram, it's trying to evaluate, are they real?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that is, I mean, I've even noticed like we created some test like fake business pages for Facebook, and dude, like they crack on those pretty hard.
Really?
Yeah. Like it's like they really, really try to ensure that it's legit.
No, always, every once in a while on Facebook, I'll get a friend, friend request from somebody I don't recognize and doesn't look, you know, doesn't, there's just something that seems a little different about it, but I still accept most of my friends on my, you know, my public page here, my Jack page. And then lo and behold, about 30 seconds later, I get a message from them. Hello, and how are you feeling today? You know, something like that. And then I'm like, all right, trying to get me to buy iTunes gift cards and send them to you in another country or something. So that still happens a lot. Jason, always appreciate the conversation. We'll do it again in a couple weeks, see what's happening in the tech world. But always look forward to talking to you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jack.
Jason Peterson, Generate Marketing.